In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. I was about the age of 10 or 11. I might have told this story before, but my father was taking me to an event, a ball game or something I was going to. We were running a little bit late, and we're in the rural road in the south, and we began to pass a funeral procession. And he did something that was his custom and other people's custom of the day. He slowed down, and as the funeral procession began to pass by, he pulled the car off to the side and stopped. A few other cars did the same, but other cars kept them going. And I was irritated. We were running late as it was. Other cars were going. My father could sense my irritation. He said something to me I've never forgotten. It came to my mind many decades later after he said it. But he said, "Son, one day you might appreciate this custom. Perhaps one day at my funeral procession, you might come to know what it means." Decades later, at his funeral procession, not many, a few cars pulled over, and how much that meant to me. What we do this holy night is that the church places us aside that we might pull to the side and stop. And through our ceremony and ritual, our music, our mannerisms, our customs, whatever we do tonight, things we've inherited from tradition, we honor and commemorate the people who have died. The Book of Maccabees says it is a noble thing to pray for the dead. And we wear black. Black is not the color of damnation. It's the color of mourning. As our beloved Queen Elizabeth, who said who we will commemorate this coming Saturday, that grief is the price we pay for love. And you can never grieve. You can never love. So I love the color of black. I appreciate when people wear dark colors at times of funerals and such, because it represents the capacity we have to love, to grieve, and feel sorrow. And then what we do tonight is that it reflects one of the central tenets of our faith, and that is we pray for the dead, and that we commemorate that we live in a family. We believe in somehow in what we call the communion of saints. This family of God that has been for thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years. And we are told in the Bible that when we love God and His family, nothing separates us from that love. I love the words of St. Paul. Not height, nor depth, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come. Not even death separates us from this. If we believe that, if we come to believe that, we obey our Lord's commandments to pray for one another. You know, I often say He didn't command that much. But He actually commanded us to pray, even though we'll never fully understand prayer, it will always remain a mystery. But He said, pray for one another in the family of God, in the love of God. And if nothing separates us from that love, not even death, then does it not stand to reason? Is it not noble? Is it not the most loving thing we can possibly do to continue to pray for those who die? Because we believe that we continue to grow in eternity, in the love of the Lord. Growth doesn't stop when we come to the end of this earthly life. And we believe too that perhaps in some way our loved ones and those who have gone before us are praying for us. So today, on the Feast of All Souls, we pray for loved ones and friends and old teachers and people we've lost who have died, but also we represent the family. We pray for those who have long since not had anyone to remember their names. The Book of Ecclesiasticus says a haunting thing. It is as if they were never born. They are forgotten to the soul, but not forgotten to the heart of God. And so tonight we do the noble thing to pray for those. And one day, the saints fall on us, we pray for you and for me. As I mentioned last Saturday, the funeral mass, our beloved Bernie Carozza, a long parishioner of this mass, it was the mother of St. Augustine of Hippo, the great Western theologian. Her name was Monica, and I mention her often, but I love the story that when she was dying in the court of Rome, her sons were weeping over her, that their mother was dying, and that they would have to bury their mother in a foreign land. And Monica said, "Don't worry about how to bury your mother. I have no problem that the Lord will find me at the end of time. But promise me one thing, wherever you are, you will remember me at the altar of God. Brothers and sisters, the most noble and loving thing we can do to the people we've loved have died is to remember them at the altar of God. Remember them at Mass. And we might not remember to say every name we've ever known and loved, but when we come to the altar rail on Sunday, whenever we come, know that those names come with us. They really do. And we believe this. And so it is a noble thing we do today. And today we have names and beautiful inlaid cross before this casket. And let me say to those who join us online and to you all who have perhaps not had the opportunity to place names in there, I will have a longer pause at the intention of the Mass. That we might say, silently or loud, the names of those who have died. A holy thing we do this night. Thank you for your prayers and presence.